Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, the legislature gets a big raise. Also, District 2, who are the contenders? And a radical right-wing extremist group has taken over the Republican Party.
You see something down there, Chief?
No, I just think I'm gonna barf.
You betcha. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR.
Welcome. Morning, guys.
Hey, y'all.
Good morning.
A lot to talk about today.
It's the first day of winter.
The winds are howling, man.
Don't
Josh, over at APR this past week, we did a kind of a breakdown of what might happen in District 2, the newly created district that is supposed to be designed to allow black citizens of Alabama their choice in elections. And we were able to identify 8 Democratic candidates that might possibly run. Mm-hmm. The most outstanding question that we had is whether Mayor Stephen Reed will run at all. Yeah. Most people thought he would, but now we're not sure, right?
Yeah, it's apparently in conversations with some people, he's let it be known that he's not exactly sure that he's going to do this. And I think everybody just kind of imagined it was a foregone conclusion that Reed was going to run and he was the person to beat in that district there. But, you know, with his father, you know, working for so long in the Democratic Party and in that area, especially, you know, the Montgomery County area, that's going to play such a vital role in whoever is elected out of that new district, too. They just kind of figured that Stephen Reed was a natural choice for that. And this was a natural step for him. You know, he's the first black mayor of Montgomery. He's a smart, intelligent guy that's well-liked by a lot of folks. And they kind of thought that this was just the next step in his political progression. And, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe he likes being mayor. Maybe he thinks the job's unfinished. I'm not sure.
I mean, Susan, we have a lot of contenders to step up. I mean, that some of them have said they are definitely going to run. Others are basically saying they're looking at it. I mean, mm-hmm. There's some good folks out there.
Yeah, we've got House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels, State Representatives Gwendolyn DeBand, Napoleon Bracey, State Senators Marie Coleman, Kirk Hatcher, Vivian Figures, and the current ASU President, Quentin Ross. But like you said, Josh, it looked like the gods had just opened the doors and welcomed Stephen Reed right into that place. Yeah. But I think you're right in saying that he thinks there's more to be done in Montgomery.
I think all these candidates have a shot.
Oh, they do.
I think, you know, when you throw Anthony Daniels in mm-hmm. the mix, though, that changes the whole dynamic of this race. Now, he's not expressed that he might run. He said he might run. He hasn't said he wouldn't run.
Well, I mean, you know, I tried to tell him the other day, and he didn't respond to my message when I said, you know, I asked you about this, and you looked at me like I had a third eye the other day, and so now all of a sudden it's a possibility, and so listen, I think he would be a great candidate for the
I mean, Quentin Ross would also be another really good one for that.
Yes, he would. I think both of those guys are, and they have deep ties to the area. Both of them do. I know Anthony Daniels is currently a representative in the Huntsville area, but he was born in Bullock County, or born in Florida and raised in Bullock County. And, you know, he lived there with his grandparents for years. And I think that he would be a very, very strong candidate for the work that he's done in the Democratic Party and the fundraising connections he has. Same with Quentin Ross. Back when he was a state senator, he was very good at raising money, and he's been very good at raising money at ASU, and he's formed a lot of connections outside of the norm in that job. Now, neither of those guys have said they want the job. So, I mean, this is all speculation at this point. But, you know, it's always nice to have your name mentioned, I guess.
Yeah, but a dream of mine would be, you know, Vivian Figures, Katie Britt, and Terry Sewell bringing it home for Alabama, man, that would be something. Those women are fierce.
I mean, and you listen, you can't dismiss Marika Coleman.
No, certainly not.
Coleman, very a policy wonk. And then Gwendolyn Devan, who would definitely add spice to the debates, and she would win some points on
the
debate.
She would.
I think I still think that if Reed gets in, there's a lot of people who will not get in.
Right. If Reed gets in, it's probably game over.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty close. It's pretty close. But I want to get back to Daniels here, and you brought up something about Bullock County. You know, I talked to Steve Flowers, who had, like us, thought it was a foregone conclusion or Reed's race to lose. Steve Flowers said that, you know, Daniels' grandmother leads one of the most prominent churches in that county.
That's right.
Both his uncles played football and basketball, well-known athletes in that area. So, I mean, he has got deep ties down there. And that sometimes matters more than where you're from.
But I'm a little selfish here. I don't want him to leave.
No, I don't think he should.
Alabama needs him here. He's one of the only sound voices with any respect or, you know, any type of, you know, sound advice for Alabama.
Well, he's very popular among the business community. You know, BCA and business leaders look to him. I mean,
he's one of the guys that they turn to all the time because he's sane. You know, he's a sane individual that they can go to and have a rational conversation with, and he understands what they're talking. He's a smart guy. He understands everything that's going on the table with them and what they're trying to accomplish, and he understands ways to motivate people to get things done, and he's not a crazy person. It's helpful.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing, these other candidates are, there's a bunch of good candidates. John Wall in the Alabama Republican Party, John, the chair, has said they are going to put up a fight in Congressional District 2, and I believe they will. I bet this will be the most expensive congressional race in the history of Alabama. No doubt about that.
Yep. I imagine you're right.
I want to take 2 seconds to talk about, we did a story this week that shows that billions and billions of dollars come into the United States free market economy through gaming. And it supports some 52.7 billion in tax revenue.
With a B.
And Alabama gets diddly squat because our lawmakers can't get off the dime and allow the people to vote.
Even though the people, 70%+ of the people in Alabama want gaming.
Yeah.
How many times do we have to tell you people?
It's it's a really sad state of affairs that we're in here now, but because at this point we are surrounded by gaming in this state.
Yeah.
The legal gaming that we have in Tennessee and Mississippi and other places, and the lotteries that we have in Tennessee and Georgia and Florida, all over the place that you have gaming. Here in this state, you have multiple casinos operating right now. That's gambling, y'all. That's gambling. All the bingo parlors that grandma goes to on Friday and Saturday nights, that's gambling, y'all. That's still gambling. And so the idea that we're not receiving revenue from this out of some, I don't even know, idealistic or some way that people just can't get off the can and move here. It's crazy to me. We left $1 billion each year on the table from the deal that we could have made with the Porch Creeks and the private tracks. And it's it's stupid at this point. It really is stupid.
It is stupid, and it's the way the legislature has to come together to pass this, or we'll just prove once again that Alabama is so backwards.
They're too busy with the culture wars, honey. We'll get to that in a minute.
All right, you're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to the voice of Alabama politics. You know, you brought it up. They're busy with the culture wars. That's one thing. I mean, what we've seen here, and I have now decided I will not call those people who are engaged in these so-called culture wars, I'm not calling them Republicans or conservatives anymore. They are right-wing extremists.
Exactly.
They hold extremist views of the United States and its place in history and the world. They have extremist views on the 21st century. They want to drag Alabama back to the 19th century, or at least the 1960s. They do not and cannot accept that progress is organic and it is always going to move forward to expand rights, not take them away. But Josh, I've warned the business community of Alabama that one day these radical far right-wing folks would come after business. And in last session, the 2023 session, they did. They passed laws outlawing ESG investments by companies, or allowing the state to do business with companies that use ESG investments. They went after diversity, equity, inclusion at businesses. The biggest companies in Alabama include diversity and equity in all their policies. Mm-hmm. They've come after the business community, and the business community better push back.
Yeah, you know, they've been doing it for a while now. I mean, they made it more blatant in the last session, you know, the transgender laws, the bathroom nonsense that they went through, all of the stuff that we had over gay marriage, and still today, apparently, they're going to re-up the gay marriage fight. The abortion law. I mean, you know, I know we probably shouldn't count the American government as big business, but I mean, we lost billions and billions of dollars on Space Force. Largely due to this, to what happened with our abortion law and our state senator, U.S. senator, I should say, from this state. And, you know, so, yeah, all those things affect business. When you have a major corporation, an Apple, for example, that are, you know, who has a CEO that is tied directly to this state, you know, that would probably have moved a major campus here if the conditions had been right. You push those people away when you pass those discriminatory laws to win pandering votes from morons, okay? That's just all there is to it.
If I was a business owner from out of state and considering putting a business here in Alabama, I'd have serious second thoughts because of all of this nonsense that's going on. Why would I want to involve my company and my employees or potential employees that I could pull from out of state into this nonsense that we have here in Alabama? Why would I do that?
Well, one of the biggest problems we have is retaining talent in this state, attracting talent and retaining talent. Because people in this state that get college degrees, for the most part, try to get out of here and go to states where it is more conducive to freedom, where there are less restrictions on personal
liberty. I got out of here for 25 years.
Yeah. But
well,
this
you know,
is home.
It's you look at the cities like Montgomery and Birmingham and the Democratic mayors that run them, and one of their major pitches to companies for relocation is, hey, we understand we're in a red state, but we're a blue dot here, and we can protect you from a lot of the nonsense that goes on around here. That's one of the reasons why Stephen Reed tried to pass some protections. You know, they passed an anti-discrimination ordinance in the city of Montgomery to try to push back on some of the statewide stuff that's going on so they could attract business. And lo and behold, they attracted the most business in the entire state. They had the greatest economic development numbers of anybody.
Yeah, and this is what business leaders know, but they have been reluctant to push back. If I were somebody at a big corporation here in Alabama, I would put $10 million in a PAC and say, look, we're tired of this nonsense. And we're going to elect candidates, or we're going to primary candidates who depend on this extremist mode of governing. We're going to get rid of you, if at all possible. Because you know what? It wouldn't hurt a corporation to go after them, because they're not going to help you. They're only going to hurt you. This will not end well for big companies unless they get involved in politics.
And we have six major corporations with tons of money in this state. If each one of them would put together that sort of pack individually or together, change this nonsense.
Yeah, and it's not a Republican Democrat sort of thing.
No, it's not.
It's a thing where we're talking about just basic human decency. Maybe that is a Republican Democrat thing, but I mean, it's at the same time though, you don't have to pitch it that way. You can say, listen, we're going to support business-minded, business-friendly candidates. We're going to make this the workers. We're going to support workers, and we're going to work for the workforce here, and that's the candidates that we're going to support. And anybody that goes against that and does this pandering nonsense, we're going to push back against them and find a candidate to run against them.
And this is not what we had when the 2010, when the supermajority was elected. Mm-hmm. They were much more moderate, much more business friendly. Mm-hmm. This has evolved over time, and the reason it is because this is a soft dictatorship, where one party rule leads to the radicals taking over. Mm-hmm. And the radicals act like they are potentates or emperors, or they want to control everyone's lives according to their religious or moral beliefs. Well, that ain't the way it should work. It might work that way in Islamic countries.
Thank you for
it
saying that.
It might work that way in fascist countries. But that is not the American way. That is anti-American. Anyway, Josh, you got to help us out here. We only got a couple of minutes, and this medical cannabis thing just keeps it's like a bomb range. Something goes off over here, and something goes off over there. Ooh. Where are we at?
I think we're just going to do it over stage. All right. We're just going, let's just start over at the beginning. And I don't know that they're necessarily going to phrase it that way. I think they're going to phrase it as rule changes and, getting the process right and that sort of thing. But I think essentially what they're going to end up doing is a basic do over. They're going to let everybody, make changes that they need to make to the application process. All the people who submitted applications, they can resubmit them, and then they'll come up with a new system that's more open and transparent, hopefully, that we can then judge these people on, and in some ways maybe apply it to the laws that we passed as well. That would be nice. And then, judge them on the standards that we've set and on the rules that are in place, and then pick the winners out of that group.
I remember us recommending that months and months ago.
Yeah. Repeatedly.
You weren't making $700 an hour, my man. All right. We had to
That's the problem.
All right. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, there's some people that think we pick on Senator Tommy Tuberville.
He's an idiot.
Sorry.
Did that come out?
Yeah, it came out right. I was going to say, we pick on him because he has no clue as to what he's doing. The fact is, we have to point out that he is
an idiot.
An idiot. So, Josh, Hamas just launched the worst terrorist attack on the state of Israel in the history of Israel.
Underline terrorists.
They have committed atrocities that are unreal. And Tommy Tuberville, in his infinite wisdom, came out this week and said that the United States shouldn't pick sides because it's dangerous.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty easy to pick a side in this particular instance, all right? I mean, if we're going to talk about the whole history of that area, okay, we can, you know, we can go back and forth. I think there have been some atrocities committed. You know, I'd hate to both sides something like that. But there have been some atrocities committed. But if we're going to talk about this particular instance right here, then yeah, there's no doubt about it. What happened was horrible. It was terrorism. It was something that should never happen. And you know, it's just you feel, you know, heartbroken for the people of that of Israel and. It just, you know, it can't happen in this day and age. It just can't happen.
And no doubt the people, the Palestinians there have suffered, and people will say they've suffered, and Hamas is a terrorist group. But the United States has to stick with its allies. That's our biggest ally in the region.
And I don't want to just lump all the Palestinian people under Hamas. That's not necessarily true. Hamas is an extremist group, just like we were talking about earlier. They are an extremist group that create that went in and did a terrorist act, or multiple terrorist acts in Israel. That is unforgivable in any language.
Well, if you just right now, if you looked at the dead, Israeli dead, it's so much bigger than 9/11. Mm-hmm. It would equate to around, if it were happened here in the United States, it would account for about 45,000 people being massacred.
Because Israel is so dense, where they went into, the population is so dense that it multiplies out.
But Josh, this goes back to, the guy is a congenital liar and he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he came out and said recently that the hold on the military that he has was because the Department of Defense was providing late-term abortions, contrary to law. The Department of Defense does not supply abortions or pay for abortion. That is just a lie.
Right. It is. I mean, it's a blatant lie. But when you have a voting base that will literally believe anything, these are the things you can get away with saying.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what he's done. He's relied on the misinformation and the fact that his voting base will eat it up because it's the abortion issue. And he's somehow protecting babies. That's all they care about. And so he's getting away with it on that level. When everybody with basic common sense can see what he's actually doing is doing nothing more than holding up promotions over travel reimbursement. That's all this is travel reimbursement. So are we also going to hold up reimbursement if these folks took a bus? You know, do we charge them extra for using our roads that we all paid for? This is nonsense, is what it is. They're not paying for the actual abortions. If the person that is the military personnel wants to go to the doctor and have this procedure performed, they can do so. The only thing that is paid for is if that person is stationed in a base that is in a state like Alabama, where those services are not provided. and other services as well are not provided, then they get reimbursement for traveling to a state where those services are provided. Yeah.
And this is exactly what you get when you elect Coach, because you liked Coach when he was coaching. You don't go back, the voters don't go back and look at what the actual qualifications are for the job. He's not qualified. Well, he doesn't understand any of this with the late term abortions and the reimbursement. There you go. And with you know, not taking sides and knowing that Israel is an ally for us in the Middle East. You know, this is what you get when you elect Coach, folks. I'm sorry.
Well, again, by stature, he's qualified, but by comportment and intellect, he is so disqualified.
He still lives in Florida.
He's disqualified. Hey, but some good news, Josh, you reported this week. I was so excited. Our state legislature is going to get a 10% pay raise come January 1. These knuckleheads are going to be making almost $60,000 a year. $60,000.
Well, that's the median income in Alabama.
For 3 months' work. That's $20,000 a month to go to Montgomery.
That's right. I mean, and listen, that doesn't count in the leadership folks that are making even more, you know? So, they're getting $60,000. You know, this was passed back in, and voters passed this. So, I mean, you know, we can only blame them. Back in 2012, you know, the legislature passed a constitutional amendment to set a lawmaker's salary, equal to the median income. And so at that point, it was around $41,000. So they have received roughly $20,000 in raises since 2014.
I would like to know what middle income Alabamians have gotten that kind of raise in the last few years.
I want to know where they're getting their numbers from.
Well, they say they're getting them from the U.S. Census.
Maybe massaging them a little bit here. Then
I mean, name me one person down there that ought to be getting $20,000 a month, you know, for work.
They should be paying us.
It boggles the mind to think that our lawmakers are getting that much money. We only got less than a minute left. Some very sad news this week.
Yes.
Former Senator Roger Bedford passed away. He was a Democratic senator, state senator from Alabama. A guy that people loved and people loved to hate, but we all knew him, and Roger was one of those people that is unforgettable.
I'm gonna miss that big smile and that big hug.
Josh, he was quite a character, right?
Yeah, and I bet the people of that district have missed him ever since they chose somebody else. Because nobody brought home money to the district like he was basically the county version or the House version of Richard Shelby. He brought home the money for his district and for his people and those projects. And there's never been anybody, as far as I know, there's never been anybody like him to do that, to have that sort of success.
I used to love sitting in the Senate press box and watching him twist the Senate back to where they would actually vote against themselves. He'd get Republicans to vote against themselves, not even knowing what they were doing.
Somebody said one time that if Roger Bedford couldn't bring home the money, nobody could.
That's right.
Yep.
He will be missed.
Yes, he will.